One thing about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's always theologians involved. Theologians are nothing more than professional people trying to figure out God's thoughts. But we are all individually theologians because we all have different ways and different things in our journey to be in eternity with God. We have our own thoughts about God as we grow in grace. And I have a lot of theologians that I follow. I have some that I don't follow. I have some that I wish they wouldn't even call themselves theologians, but that's my humble opinion. But occasionally you run across somebody, and I never thought I'd run across a theologian from Canada, but I did. And he had something interesting to say, and I wanted to share that with you. His name is Dr. D.A. Carson, and he's famous in Canada, not so much here in this country, but I wanted to share what he said. He said, one of the most striking evidence of sinful human nature lies in the universal propensity for a downward drift. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate towards godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift towards compromise, and we call it tolerance. We drift towards disobedience, and we call it freedom. We drift towards superstition, and we call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control, and we call it relaxation. We slouch towards prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking that we have escaped legalism. We slide towards godliness and convince ourselves we've been liberated. Now we have a friend. Our friend's name is Jesus. And he is our holy friend. And we need him. We need his help to find ourselves in that downward spiral of increasingly of an impure world that we live in. We call it a broken world, and it is broken. As we have seen what the Apostle John warned us about false prophets in the scriptures that I read, sometimes we don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord and everlasting through the atmosphere of this world. But the spirit of anti-Jesus or anti-Christ is alive and very, very busy. And we have to cut through the noise to reassure people that our friend Jesus will never diminish our lives. In fact, he will improve our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies. He is the way, the only way. Jesus is the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. The only way and the glorious way to that life God intends for us to have is that we have an abundant life, we have an abundant faith, and he is the source of our eternal hope. So every time we go forth with that message, we're opposed by spiritual forces in this world. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the Apostle John records this way. And he talks about the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Now, some people are too sophisticated to believe in the devil. But let me tell you, Jesus believed in the devil. And check it out, Matthew, Luke chapter 4, especially is the one that I always like, when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, and he never succeeded with Jesus, he was able to continue to stay faithful and batter him with the word of God. You know, and so, but it was all over, the devil gave up. Okay. I'm giving up for now, Jesus, but I'll be back. And he is still in the world, and we are of the world, and he is out there always messing with us. But, in the name of Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. So Satan and his angels are spiritual beings at work. And at this very moment, he's opposing the persons and the personhood of Jesus Christ. The evidence is very prevalent. Around us, the name of Jesus isn't welcome in some places where it's desperately needed. You would think you'd want Jesus in the hospitals. You would think that you would want Jesus in the courtrooms. You would think you would want him in the classrooms, wouldn't you? But, I love the buts and the ifs, as you know. We have pushed him out of those places It's irrational, it's illogical. Our legal and educational systems were built on Judeo-Christian worldview, and it had made us one of the most unique, prosperous people in the history of civilization. Yet, we're experiencing what Dr. Carson calls the downward drift, the spirit of Antichrist, and it's so boldly embraced and loudly shouted that we can't sometimes decide whether we're a man or a woman. We can't divine what a family is. We no longer believe in biblical marriages. For the elementary age children, we've sacrificed millions of children to call convenience. That's why it's so important for you and me to begin to swim against the tide. Run against the wind, if you would. We need to say, wait a minute. I'm an advocate for Jesus. The Lord was a man of immeasurable holiness. He was a man without sin. He was without stain or blemish. He expects his followers to find that upward path, not a downward drift. The Bible confirms this by talking about things in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul said, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." And also in Romans 6, 9, he said, "Just as we need to offer yourself as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourself as slaves to the righteous leading of holiness through Jesus Christ our Lord." There it is. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have had these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates both body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of the reverence for God." Wesley talked an awful lot about holiness, and if you study some of Wesley's theology, you too know that you are holy and precious in God's sight. But perfecting holiness is a challenge, no doubt about it, because we are all sometimes stuck in that downward drift. Or caught the spiritual current. We need to catch the spiritual uplift current. The psalmist writes a prayer for us. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, this is what the psalmist prayed. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offense in me, and lead me to the way of everlasting." Now, thanks be to God. But I love the buts in the end. It takes courage to offer that prayer. But I think all of us want to be moving upward rather than downward. And I think that we need to let God shine His light into our life and to show us what we need to do and how we need to work on these things to continue to be holy in His sight. Ruth Graham Bell, Billy Graham's wife, blessed be their souls, both of them are safely home to heaven. But she wrote in one of the books that she wrote one time, and she talked about a time when a television news program wanted to interview her. And she sat down with her husband, Billy, and the interviewer went on, and they were doing the interview up in their North Carolina home. And she swept, and she got this, and she polished, and everything was perfect. She was just ready for the interview. And then, voila, they turned on the lights for the television program. And to her amazement, and she was horrified because the bright television light penetrated every square inch of their living room. And she said, "All I could see was the dust and the cobwebs that I missed." But think about it. That's a spiritual thing, too. As we strive for holiness, we need the Spirit of the living God to light us with His Holy Spirit, to show us the corners, the closest part, all the different things that are in our heart, to illuminate them so we can continue to clean them out. We call it repentance. And then we got our fisherman friend, Peter. And he wrote two epistles, we call it. In 2 Peter, he wrote in his elderly years, shortly before he was led away and crucified upside down as a martyr for Christ. In his final chapter, Peter wrote about the coming of Christ and the approaching judgment, the destruction of the heavens and the earth by fire, and the ushering in of the new heavens and the new earth. Eternity where righteousness will reign. And then he went on to ask this question in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and His speedy return. So as we declare holiness in God's sight in the moment that we receive Jesus as our Savior. Now sometimes there's not lightning flashes or anything. Sometimes it's a slow growth. But once you accept Christ into your life and then you continue to grow in grace, He shows you all the things that you need to correct and get out of your life to prepare for eternal life. And you can then make a difference in the world. If we take our calling seriously, we must live increasingly holy and godly life as we wait for the return of Christ. And then what we need to do to change in our life, to help others, and that the Holy Spirit will reveal what you need to change. That's the most beautiful part about the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, I go home to be with the Father, I'll send one greater than I, the Holy Spirit, always with you. You ever notice and be confused with our conscience sometimes, if you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, nobody has to walk up and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. No, the Holy Spirit will quicken. It's the Holy Spirit that does the teaching and the convicting. I don't. The Bible don't. The Holy Spirit does. So, in these days, and we're challenged with trying to get the church back on the right path in a lot of different ways, not only our little church, but the church, the worldwide church of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us who are Christ followers have an obligation to do that, one soul at a time.